Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. Every informed Jew and Christian knows this great declaration. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 5. Every Jewish child under the Mosaic Covenant grew up hearing that truth and repeating it at home and in the worship of the temple or synagogue. That great truth was the foundation of the Jewish covenant and is also the foundation of the New Covenant, although we may not repeat it as often as we should. God wants us to know that He alone is God and that we have a sacred obligation to worship and to serve Him. Throughout the Old Testament, especially in the five books of Moses, for example, Exodus 6:2, God often declared, "I am the Lord." As the Israelites were preparing to leave the bondage of Egypt, the Lord told Moses, "And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be your God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians." Exodus 6:7. What greater blessing could anyone enjoy than the promise God made to the Israelites? "I will take you for my people, and I will be your God." The gods of the Egyptians, of the Assyrians, and of other nations were nothing more than pieces of wood or gold or silver. They could not walk or talk or see or hear. They provided nothing for their worshipers. But the God of the Jews was and is the creator and sustainer of the universe. He loves us and provides for our every need. The false gods could not do that. The Apostle Paul knew of the gracious promises God had made to His people under the Jewish covenant. He records a similar promise God made to the Christians at Corinth. "What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will dwell with them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty." 2 Corinthians 6, 16-18. The Jews may have had some doubts about God's strength and His love for them. All of that was about to change. He promised, "You shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians." The Israelites and the Egyptians were about to see one of the greatest demonstrations of God's power since the creation of the world. The plagues God brought on the Egyptians, but not on the Jews in Goshen, showed both Israelite and Egyptian that the God of Israel was the Lord. Intelligent Egyptians knew the gods of Egypt were capable of nothing. So when they witnessed the miracles God enabled Moses to perform, they had to know that the God of Moses was God. Only the living God could perform such marvelous miracles. The Israelites should have known that truth too. Several hundred years before Moses, God had promised the land of Canaan to Abraham and to his descendants. The promise had not been fulfilled, but it was about to be. And God said, "And I will bring you in unto the land, concerning the which I did swear to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it to you for a heritage. I am the Lord." Exodus 6, 8. Tragically, the Jews violated their part of the covenant and lost the right to the land forever. I am fully aware that our premillennial friends deny that fact, but there really is no doubt about it. God has nothing in mind for the Jews that He does not have in mind for all people. There are no future blessings for Israel that do not apply to all of us. Those who teach otherwise are simply denying the truth of the gospel. Thank you for listening today, and may God richly bless you.